This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Today I have completed your deen for you, in your religion. وأتممت عليكم نعمتي. And I perfected my ni'mah, my blessing that I bestowed upon you. ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. And I'm pleased with Islam as it's been presented for you. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He endorses the presentation of Islam as it was delivered to us through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being true, being complete, and Allah is pleased and satisfied with. So that ayah was revealed when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on Arafah. During the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, a Jewish man came to him. He goes, you know, you Muslims have an ayah in the Quran. If this was revealed for us, the Jewish community would have done, would have made that day a celebration day. He asked him, which ayah are you referring to? So he gave him this ayah. He said, well, I know when it was revealed. It was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in his hajj on Arafah, which is one of the blessed, of course, days. And definitely that's in Mecca, obviously. So it's in the blessed place and haram of Mecca, which is in Arafah area. And then he said it was, of course, on that very blessed day, the night of the hijjah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given his final sermon and also final hajj salawatullah wasalam. So it's a blessing on a blessing, a celebration over another celebration. So what do the hujjaj usually do? So the hujjaj right now, as you can see, the haram is empty because all of them were camping in Mina the day before. And then they pray fajr, if they were still there, they pray fajr in the camp in Mina, and then they start marching towards Arafah. Now, back in the days when the numbers were small, the sunnah is that they wait outside of the boundaries of Arafah until Dhuhr time. Then they pray Dhuhr and Asr, two rak'ah, Jam' and Qasr, and then they go into the camp. And that's when they spend Arafah from Dhuhr time all the way until sunset. Nowadays, because the numbers are, mashallah, massive, not everybody actually spends their nights or day of Tarwiyah in Mina. Many people, they're already in Arafah, so probably they're spending 2 days in Arafah, just to kind of make it easy for many people in terms of transportation. So, but those who stayed in Mina for that day, they move to Arafah in the morning, and then they attend Khutbat al-Jum'ah over there. So attend Khutbat al-Arafah on there. The sunnah of the Prophet saw him to do it right before he prays Salat al-Dhuhr and Salat al-Asr. And then he prays Dhuhr and Asr, two rak'ah combined, and then he would enter the camp of Arafah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Now, in today, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam camped, there's a huge, massive masjid over there. I don't know if you've been to that area, but that masjid is called Masjid Namira. Masjid Namira, it's a massive, compound. Really, it's a big masjid. However, only not even one quarter, the back quarter almost of the masjid is the only space in the entire masjid that actually considered part of the boundaries of Arafah itself. The front part wasn't. Why? Because that's where the Prophet ﷺ supposedly camped, and that's where the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed, led the salah, and then he entered into Arafah area. So if anyone wants to spend their days in Arafah, and they would like to be in Masjid Namira, you should be all the way in the back. Otherwise, if you go into the front, you'll be outside of the boundaries of Arafah, and as a result, you might invalidate your hajj if you spend the whole day over there. However, some of the ulama nowadays and locals over there, they say even if you stay in the masjid anywhere, it's okay. I think they're making this as a concession because of the space of Arafah itself is like cannot accommodate all these huge numbers right now, so they're kind of expanding the boundaries to make it convenient for the people. I remember, alhamdulillah, I spent two of the hajj that I went to in Masjid Namira, actually, all the way in the back, mashallah. However, even though it's a masjid, but many of the hujjaj who come, subhanAllah, they have no clue, wallahi. They come, they just want to do their duty and they leave. So therefore, they don't even recognize that this is a masjid. Allahumma musta'an. Like one of the times we were sitting there making our dhikr, our ibadah, our ta'ah, and then you just smell smoke. I was like, where is this coming from, Jama'ah? I thought I was just kind of like dreaming or... And then looking around and then there's this guy smoking and just kind of like hiding his cigarette in the masjid, the musalla. And I'm like, ya akhi, Allah yahdik, ya akhi, masjid. This is masjid. Don't you know it's masjid? It's just ridiculous. And some other people, they're making weird du'as, wallahi. Like in the back, I heard people, they're singing du'as with tariqah, and it's weird. So still, it's a huge opportunity to meet people from different cultures, different communities, staying in the same place all these hours and all these days, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. So the sunnah in Arafah for the people is to spend all day in ibadah and ta'ah as much as they can. Are they allowed to sit down? Are they allowed to lay down? Are they allowed to sleep? Yes. It's not like you have to be standing all that day. And you don't even have to stand, as a matter of fact. You can just sit down and make your dua and your dhikr. Are you allowed to read Quran, make tasbih, any form of ibadah? Can you pray if you want to? But it's better to engage in dua and istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you allowed to chit-chat and talk? Yes. Are you allowed to work on your laptop if you work remotely, for example? Of course, you can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, قَالَ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. It's okay. There's no harm on you to seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. Didn't you do it that day? So it's okay to do that. However, of course, if you engage in anything outside of the ibadah, that is definitely is going to affect the quality of your reward. So make sure that you engage in the ibadah as much as possible, and you stay there. They will stay there in Arafah until the sun goes down. Now, some people, they rush before that because, again, of the numbers and the kind of demographics. Older people, people with disabilities, for example, they rush them earlier. But it's better to stay until the sun goes down, and then you start going out on your way to Muzdalifah. SubhanAllah, one of the most beautiful sights. If you ever go to Hajj, you walk in that area. Instead of riding the bus, it is just one of the most beautiful sights that you can ever imagine, actually. People, pedestrian highways, coming from all over the area, just like veins, really, or just like streams. So they start kind of trickling in from smaller ones to bigger ones, smaller ones to bigger ones, all the way until they become one big highway. And SubhanAllah, if you just go overpass and just stand on that bridge, and you look at the people from the back, look at the people in the front, SubhanAllah, endless, like a river, and completely to the end. You can't see the end of it, SubhanAllah. It's beautiful. And the beautiful thing is that all these people, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their background, regardless where they came from or socioeconomic status, they are all in that moment are unified in language. They all in that moment speak in Arabic, chanting the exact same phrase. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. They all saying that, our Lord, here we are in thy service, our Lord. You know, SubhanAllah, again, they all chanting the exact same phrase. And the beautiful, sweet thing is that you can tell people from which country based on the melody. Because everybody have their own ways of pronouncing it. So you hear people, he goes, oh, this is from Turkey. Oh, this sound must be African. This one, you know, Pakistani. This one, everybody has their own way of pronouncing it, SubhanAllah, and singing it. But still is the exact same phrase, the exact same language, unifying the whole ummah in such a moment. You know, over the purpose, they're all heading to the same direction. The appearance, you can tell the difference, SubhanAllah. And then the tongue, they all praising their Lord, SubhanAllah, wa ta'ala. And their direction is going towards Muzdalifah. That's when they camp for the night. They rest for that night, pray Maghrib and Isha. And then for the following day, at Fajr, they wake up in Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram in Mina. They pray Fajr. And then they start or towards Muzdalifah. And then they move into Mina to start the day of Hajj, inshallah ta'ala, which is the day of Al-Nahr, that has all the ibadat that we're going to talk about tomorrow, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, regarding those who are not going for Hajj, like ourselves over here, well, how am I going to benefit from this day? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala wa reported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man saamu arafa, whoever fasts the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kaffar anhu 2 years, the sins of 2 years. Sanat al-qabila wal-madiya. Like, sins of 2 years will be erased or at least be overlooked and forgiven if you make commitment to fast this day. Now, I know you might, some might say, wait a minute, but we're in Texas. Can we be exempt? Because the temperature is going to be 107, 108 probably tomorrow, right? Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, look, I mean, if the more hardship you endure in the process of making your ibadah and ta'ah, the more reward you will receive. Now, that doesn't mean to expose yourself to hardships. Doesn't mean to go and stand in the sun to say, alhamdulillah, more reward, inshallah. No, I doubt it. You're probably going to break your fast in a few seconds. But the idea is that if you had to go through some circumstances that makes the fast of that day so hard difficult for you, and you still endure the fasting, your reward, inshallah, is going to be actually even maximized. And our Prophet ﷺ told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, قال أجرك على قدر نصبك. You get reward as much as hardship you endure. So if you continue consistent with that, just don't complain about it. So if I see you tomorrow and I say, how are you doing today? Don't tell me I can do better. Okay? No. Don't say, Alhamdulillah, I'm enjoying it. Right? Don't complain about it. Just do your ibadah, inshallah ta'ala, and ask Allah for forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you, Rabbil Alameen. Regarding the takbirat, so the takbirat of Al-Eid or takbirat of the Dhul-Hijjah, it began since the beginning of the month. So you do your takbirat while you're walking, going home, and Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. You keep doing it actually regularly. This is called takbir mutlaq, meaning overall takbir throughout the season. And we'll continue with this until even actually the 3 days after Eid, inshallah ta'ala. However, at-takbir al-muqayyad, that exclusive takbirat that is usually done in the masajid, begins tomorrow after Fajr Salah, inshallah ta'ala. So after Fajr, which is the day of Arafah, that's when you begin the takbirat, and after Dhuhr, after Asr, after Maghrib, Isha, all the way until the last day of Ayyam at-Tashriq, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That will be actually the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. The last time you will do the takbirat in the masjid will be after Salat al-Asr. But you have to continue at home and for yourself until Maghrib time, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept from you your ta'a and your ibadah, ya Rabbil Alameen. Make sure to plan to fast tomorrow. It's a very valuable opportunity, and it happens once a year, Jama'ah. So make sure to dedicate that day for fasting, inshallah ta'ala. If you say, well, my work is difficult, my work is so hard, take it off. Take that day off, ya Jama'ah. For the sake of fasting the day of Arafah, I will sacrifice that day. It's very important, very valuable. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of you and accept from you. Jazakum Allah khair. Any question, Jama'ah? Yes. Starting tomorrow after Fajr, inshallah. That's fine. Even if they fall into one sink, that should be okay. And you don't have to resist that. Allahu A'lam. Nah. Yes.
What's the best dhikr?
The Arafah?
Yeah.
What is the best dhikr during Arafah? Any form of dhikr is good, but the most important thing really is seeking forgiveness. Because that's the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, will overlook his creation and see the people in Arafah and yubahi malaikatahu. He will brag about his creation to the angels. And now what they're asking for forgiveness. Shirukum anni ghafartu lahum. Be my witness, I have forgiven them all their sins. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik.